If you ever read Deuteronomy chapter 28 and seem to live in lack, well, today we're going to talk about God's timing. Hebrews chapter 6, starting with verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath but for confirmation is for them an end to all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. God made a promise. God cannot lie. We talked about this Wednesday night a little bit, quite a bit in the service. God cannot lie. For God says, when God said that it's going to happen, it's into being. God spoke this entire earth into being. He spoke everything we see into being except man. Man is the only thing that he did not speak into being that we know of. He came down and he formed the man out of the dust of the earth with his hands and blew his breath into man because he wanted man to be created in his image. He wanted man created like him. Everything else he spoke into being. God cannot lie because everything he says happens. So when God makes a promise, it's going to happen. God makes a promise. Faith believes it. Hope anticipates it. And patience quietly waits for it. Hope is the beginning of faith. Okay? And so when God made a promise to Abraham, Abraham waited in hope. He was in faith, but he was hoping for this promise to come to pass soon. And he was somewhat patient, although, you know, we know that Abraham tried to help God out. And we tend to do that too. We try to help him out, try to get ahead of him, you know, and consequently, Ishmael appeared on the scene. But faith believes the promise God made. Hope continues and anticipates what faith believes, and patience just quietly endures. Okay? Go over to 2 Peter chapter 1. Starting with verse 3. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called to us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge. Okay? He is given to us all things, promised us all things that pertain to life and to godliness. He's promised us all things that pertain. Now, that means everything that would have anything to do with life and with godliness, with our natural life and our spiritual life. He's promised us everything. Everything. There's nothing lacking that hasn't been promised by God that has to do with your natural life or your spiritual life. Go over to Matthew chapter 6, and we see what Jesus has to say about this. See, this is what Peter was writing about. He was talking about what Jesus taught him here in Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 25. Jesus said, "Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, what you will drink, or about your what you will put on. Is not life the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles, or the heathen, seek. For your heavenly Father knows you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for today is its own trouble." See, Jesus was saying, if we seek God, he's promised us everything else. We need to seek his face, not his hands. Amen? Exceeding great and precious promises is the way Peter put it. But Jesus is saying all the things that we need pertaining to life have already been, you know, God knows we need those things. The promises have been made. You know, in Oak Tree, We're studying about how to study the Bible. And I've been putting some scriptures out to the class. And as I put the scriptures out, they have been, and the first time we did it, they unknowingly, Now they're starting to catch on to what they're doing, but the first time we did it, they unknowingly began a Bible study because that was what we're learning how to do and learning how to lead Bible studies. And what they began to do was to chain reference from one scripture to the next and see where it leads us through. Well, as questions began to arise, because as you study the Bible, you read one scripture and it raises a question about the next scripture. And you have to begin to go and search. And that's the whole idea behind studying the Bible as opposed to just sitting down and reading. Well, as they began to study, they began to ask questions about the promises of God. And they began to see that there are a lot of promises in the Old Testament. And so we began to talk some about Old Testament promises. And the study that night led to Jesus fulfilled the law. We know that he fulfilled the law. We know that according to the Word of God, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. But nowhere in the Bible can you show me where we've ever been redeemed from the promises or the blessings. Why? Because God's promises and his blessings are for us. The children of Abraham still live in the blessings of Abraham. And we are the adopted sons and daughters of Abraham. Amen? And so the Old Testament blessings and promises are still for us as much as they were for the Old Testament people. It's only the curses we've been redeemed from. And we don't have to try to live under the law in the natural realm, because the law has been fulfilled. Well, that's where the Bible study led. Interesting study for first night, isn't it? Let's look at Genesis chapter 17. And we're going to follow this promise through a little bit. Genesis chapter 17, verse 8. God's talking to Abraham here. He said, "Also I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. I will give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." Now, I could get very political at this point. I'll try not. But I'm going to mention this. There's a huge discussion today about how Israel and that part of the world is going to be divided up. And man can make all the rules they want to make. And people can sing and dance and do all the fighting they want to do. But when God decides to lay out the boundaries and give his people the land that he's promised to the descendants of Abraham, it doesn't really make a whit of difference what all the kings and rulers and people and presidents and armies and everybody else decides to do. He's just going to go, and that's going to be it. And everybody else is just going to have to just move. And in 1967, I think it was, there was a war over that land, and it lasted 6 days, and Israel won. Well, that was about 5 days longer than I expected. Why? Well, because that land was promised to the descendants of Abraham, and it's going to be land of the descendants of Abraham until Jesus comes back, and then he's going to clear out the rest of it. Now that's my political statement for today. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We've talked about the promises. Now let's start on faith. Now faith is. Not will be, could be, should be, ought to be, might be, could be, should be. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I want to talk a little bit about things not seen. How many of you believe there are angels? Do you see them? Do you see them here today? There are things that these eyes just normally don't see because they are of a higher, what, essence than we're created to look at right now because of the sin in this world. They're of a higher creation than we can see at this point. Okay? Angels. Why can't we see demons? Well, first of all, it would scare the daylights out of most people if they saw the demons that were giving them the hard time that they're having. And God knew that a long time ago. And so see, that ability to see into the supernatural realm at some point probably back in the garden about the time that Eve and Adam sinned, that ability went away for most other than people that are operating in the gifts of the Spirit, and that's for a certain time and a certain purpose. Okay? Now I won't take that away because I believe fully in operating in the gifts of the Spirit. I've operated in the gifts of the Spirit. And I fully expect to operate in the gifts of the Spirit every day, all the time. God's shown me things in the Spirit. And sometimes I wonder why. Other times I know why. Sometimes I believe it's just to give me a little bit of a boost of energy, you know, so that I keep going. Other times it's so I can bless somebody else. Other times it's so I know how to pray for somebody. Well, faith is a substance. It's something, you know, I mean, this pew's a substance, and I can whack on it, and I know it's a substance. Well, faith is a substance, but I can't see it. And I can't grab a hold of it this way. But you know what? If you ask any chemist or any scientist, they'll tell you that the air I'm breathing is a substance. You take it away, we're going to die. And yet there's a substance to it. It has a whole mixture of gases in it. There's oxygen in here, there's nitrogen in here, there's helium in here, there's argon in here, there's all kinds of gases in this air that we're breathing. Can anybody see the gases in here? No. In fact, the ones you can see usually will choke you. And yet there's a substance to this air. I can't grab a hold of it, but it's here. Well, faith is like that. And see, I have to have faith that there's air in this room. I have to believe it's here because I can't see it.
Well, Pastor, that's not hard to do because if you walk into a room where there's no air, you'll know it quick enough. You know what? If you walk into a room where there's no faith, you know that quick enough too. If you're at all in the Spirit, All you have to do is walk into a place where there's no faith, and you pick it up just like that. But see, faith is a substance of things not seen. It's the beginning of receiving.
And when we operate in faith, what we can do is we can begin to thank God for the fulfillment of the promise.
Most people wait until they receive. Well, God promised me that He was going to meet my need. So as soon as I get that check, I'm going to thank Him. No, we should begin to thank Him because we've got the substance right here, faith. I believe, I receive, I thank You, Lord God, that I've received. Well, did you get the money yet? No, I didn't get the money yet, but that's okay because God's sending it. See, that's faith. Now, somewhere along the line, people took, and I'm using money as an example here, they took that faith message and they skewed it, because people tend to do things like that. They took that prosperity message and they started writing faith checks. Well, those are also called bounce checks. And they're illegal. And you don't do things like that. I mean, you can write the check, but don't send it out. Put it on your desk and wait until God covers it. And then send it out. But see, you begin to thank Him for what you've received. Begin to thank Him because that's how faith works. Look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness by which is according to faith. Look at Genesis chapter 6. Verses 13 to 14. And God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch." And then he goes on to tell him how to make it. Okay, now go over to Genesis chapter 7, verses 11 and 12. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened, and the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. Hundred and 20 years passed between these two scriptures. There was a 120-year time span between those two scriptures. A 120 years, Noah preached that God was going to destroy the earth and build a boat in the desert in front of people who had never seen rain. He was called nuts
I'm sure, crazy, that old fool, he had no converts other than his wife and their three sons and their wives. In 120 years, he had no converts other than his own family. And we don't even know for sure that they were converted, but God promised to save them. In God's time, God believed, or Noah believed God. He began to do what God told him to do for 120 years. Now remember I said back when I was talking about the promises, we read about Abraham being promised all generations. Look at Joshua chapter 14. Verse 7. Caleb is talking to Joshua. Now this was several hundred years after Abraham. And Caleb is speaking to Joshua. And he says, I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought word back to him as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance, and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he has said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses, while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am, this day, 85 years old. Caleb believed. Amen? Amen? We'll keep going. We're going to keep that story going. Romans chapter 4. Starting with verse 17. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Contrary to hope, in hope believed. Contrary to hope, in hope believed. Sometimes the doctor will say, there is no hope. You have 6 months to live. There is no hope. Contrary to hope, in hope believed. Abraham was 86 years old when God made the promise to him that he would have a son. 13 years later, after he believed God, 13 years later, after he believed God, he finally had Isaac through Sarah. Contrary to hope. Why? Because 99-year-old men and 90-some-odd-year-old women just don't have babies. Abraham believed so much, if you go on and read after Sarah died, Abraham had several more. That old boy believed God, contrary to hope, contrary to what human beliefs are, contrary to what, you know, mankind can do. I mean, Ishmael was born somewhere between age 86 and 99. That's where he started. Hope anticipates what faith believes. It anticipates the promise. In other words, you believe it's coming every day, you hope to see it. I hope to see these promised things that God has promised me. I hope every morning when I get up, I hope today's the day I'm going to see the miracles take place. Sometimes at night when I go to bed, I think, I wonder what didn't happen today. But I won't dwell on that because dwelling on that sometimes will be a hindrance to your faith. So you can't allow yourself to dwell on that. Because if you do, it can knock you down. But then you get up the next day and you begin to think, I hope today's the day. I hope. I start praying. You know, usually I start praying about the time I pull out of my driveway in the morning on my way up here. I start to pray. And by the time I get on this side of Jackson Center, you know, I'm really beginning to think, well, by the time I get up there today, this is, might happen, and this could happen, and this could happen, and this could happen. Why? Because that hope. Well, Pastor, how is this stuff all going to happen? It's contrary to hope. It's contrary to human natural understanding, but that's okay because God, my God, is going to meet all my need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus, not according to my abilities. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how educated you are. I don't care how much you know or how many friends you have. Your abilities mean when it comes to what God can do. And that's what it boils down to. So what we have to do is just work for Him and do what He tells us to do. You know, once we believe God, we can anticipate the outcome. If you believe what God tells you, then you can begin to anticipate the very outcome. How many of you believe that Jesus is coming back? Do you know how many hundred thousand years it was between the first time the Messiah was promised and Jesus finally came to earth? God promised the Messiah when He was talking to Adam and Eve in the garden, and Jesus finally came several hundred, actually thousand, a couple of thousand years later. Well, Jesus said He was coming back. He's coming back. Anticipate the outcome. How many of you believe that there's a new heaven and a new earth coming? You can begin to come. We're going to be part of it. Amen? Amen. Okay, how many of you believe you're saved? Why? Because it's in the Word. All right? Now, if you can believe you're saved, and you can believe Jesus is coming back, believe there's a new heaven and a new earth coming. then you ought to be able to believe that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. You ought to believe Deuteronomy 28. You ought to be able to believe all the promises. And that's where people choke. That was Wednesday night's sermon. We choke. We started with the parable of the sower. You know, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And, you know, where do you choke on that receiving? Do you choke at 30? Do you choke at 60? Do you choke at 100? Can you not quite get it? I mean, come on, if we can believe that we're going to live forever because Jesus went to the cross and rose from the dead, if we can believe that, why can't we believe that my God is going to meet all of our needs, that he's going to supply us with food and clothing and all that stuff if we'll just seek his face? Why can't we believe the simple stuff? I know I'm out of my notes, but that's okay. We can believe the hard stuff. It's the simple stuff we have a hard time with. Matthew 6:25-33. We worry about the simple things. We can believe the hard stuff. Once we believe God, we can anticipate the outcome. Just like Caleb believed what he heard through Moses, Abraham believed what he heard from God, we can believe what God's written word. Caleb was 85 years old. He was just at 45. He said, I want that mountain right there. That's my mountain. I want it. And they gave it to him. He didn't ask for the flat land. Caleb could ask for anything he wanted. He said, I want a mountain. The man believed God. Do we believe God that much? Do we believe God as much as Abraham did? Oh, well, Pastor, you know, he was Abraham. Yeah, he was some goat herder, sheep herder. He wasn't even an Israelite. He was a Chaldean from Ur. We have to learn to believe like that. And begin to anticipate that what God said in his word is going to come to pass in our lives. Go over to Luke chapter 21. Verse 19. By possess your souls. By your patience possess your souls. Now, you know, this past week, I had the opportunity to do the devotions at a minister's meeting, pastor's forum. And I, as I was doing the devotions there, I talked about the Word and how the Word
you know, we need to be in the Word and how the Word needs to be in us. And at some point I made reference to man being a triune as the Father and the Holy Spirit, and we are a spirit that lives in a body that has a soul. And I never understand that. But see, by your patience, possess your soul. In other words, you keep your mind at ease. You keep your mind, you possess, you keep control of your thinking, emotional realm by having patience. That's how you control your thinking realm, by being patient. That's how we control it. By your patience, possess your soul. Go over to Romans chapter 15. Starting with verse 3. Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward it according to Christ Jesus. Patience gives us comfort when we're patient. Why? Well, first of all, when you're in control of your mental faculties and you're not scatterbrained and wild. We get perturbed, we get frustrated, we get various things running through. Go up, our blood pressure goes up. Our bodies begin to respond. Why? We've lost control of our soul. But when you have patience, then your comfort level is down. And you're more comfortable. Look at 2 Thessalonians. There were so many scriptures I could find on patience last night when I started looking. I could have filled up this page in another one. So I passed some. If you do a whole Bible study on patience, let me tell you, you could really do a Bible study on patience. 2 Thessalonians verse 5. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. Patience. You say, well, was Jesus patient? You try running around with a bunch of fishermen and trying to teach those guys how to be apostles and see how patient you are. There were a couple times that we see that he might have come close to losing his patience. Like when he said, "Oh, ye of little faith, how long am I going to be with you?" And then he went on and taught them. But that's as close as we see to him losing his patience. Oh, when he went to the temple, angry. He wasn't terribly patient with the money changers. Other than that, you know, he was a very patient man. Even when the Pharisees came to him, he just said, "Well, you're a generation of vipers. What are we going to do? You're a bunch of whitewashed tombs." Why? Because you're dead inside. You just look good on the outside. You're dead inside. You stink on the inside.
Because you don't know what you're talking about. And we started with Hebrews 6, 13 through 20, but let's look at Hebrews chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. And we desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Who through faith and patience inherit the promises. When you have faith, and your hope is anticipating the outcome, and you patiently wait, you will inherit the promises will come. Just like Caleb inherited it, like the Israelites hundreds of years after Abraham moved into the land of Canaan and took the land of Canaan. And many times didn't even have to fight, like Jericho. You know, there wasn't a big fight at Jericho. They just walked around. They didn't even say anything. They just walked around the city. Just walked around the city. Just walked around the city. And it fell. No fighting in vain. You know, amazing when you think about how the army, the Israelite army, would go into a city, and with the exception of Ai, they would go into a city and you know, actually fight the battle and come out, and not one of them would be hurt. That's amazing. They can't do that today. Not one of them got hurt. Why? Because they believed God. And if we would start believing God that way, we could fight these battles that the enemy throws at us the same way and not get hurt. By patience inherit the promises. Amen? Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for revelation knowledge in the word. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching us the word of God. And I pray, Lord God, for supernatural faith in the lives of these believers. I pray for supernatural patience in the lives of your believers. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. Thank you that we receive by faith. Father, I thank you and I praise you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'd like to have prayer for something today, I want to pray for you. Anybody? And Lord, as we go from this place today, I thank you for your protection over us. I thank you, Father God, there is nothing that shall by any means hurt us because we stand in the protection of Almighty God. Father, I thank you and I praise you for supernatural provision in the lives of this people, that you meet every need that they have according to your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Father, I thank you for supernatural provision in this church. And Lord, I pray now for a people full of the anointing of the Holy Spirit of God, full of the power of the living God, full of the love of Jesus, ready to reach out to those around them with that love, with that power, with that anointing, changing the lives of people forever. In Jesus' name, amen.